You are listening to the Two and Out CFL Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
But if he doesn't somehow work into his speech, shove it, then it is not worth it. Then he should have waited and not been in.
Grab some poutine and a double-double. It's time for the Two and Out CFL Podcast.
Now they have to kick it out, and they do!
Every week, Travis Kura.
Does anybody still care about this podcast?
And Brazilian Tide.
Punters are people. To
talk fantasy football, bring you the latest in CFL news, and sprinkle in a little bit of nonsense.
Are you kidding? This is unbelievable!
Ready, set, hunt!
Fantasy football. Oh, man. When's the next time we're going to play that? We're part of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community-supported. Brazilian Tie not in today, but I went to the bullpen. Another member of the Alberta Podcast Network and Canadian Football Podcast Network, Andrew and superfan Mike from the newly minted Turf District Podcast, or TD Pod. Just to keep things straight, because we're all socially distanced in completely different locations. I'll start with you, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Thanks for having us back on. And it's kind of fun to hear the theme song live. I feel like, wow, I'm really part of something big now.
Well, you only hear it live, like at the live show, right?
That's right. Yeah. Usually I like to speed up the intro, so I'm used to it going a lot faster. And then I'm like, oh wait, that's what Ty actually sounds like. That's cool.
And it's so hard for me not to say Superman Fike. So I'll just say it anyway. How you doing? It's been too long since I've talked to you guys at a tailgate or anywhere, really.
It has been. It's been good, man. It's been something. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe the whole year.
Yeah, exactly. And just for the record, I do listen to your show in real time, not sped up. So, you know, it sounded just fine to me.
That's extra Turf District points. Can I say that?
TD points. Yeah, TD points.
Okay, sure. Awesome. Or just touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I actually wanted to start the show and talk about haircuts, but I don't know if you guys are as follically blessed as I am. And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just a reality, but my wife is really not liking me right now because I have not had a haircut since March. I have not trimmed my beard since March. My mustache is full Lanny McDonald. My beard is full Viking. And my hair is almost Paul McCartney circa 1965. So
wow.
I am not looking very presentable right now. Have you guys, Andrew, been for a haircut during this whole thing? Are you doing it yourself? What's going on?
Oh, I asked my wife and said, could you please help me out with this? And because I couldn't tolerate it. I can't stand it getting out of control. And so she did. We've done that a couple of times. And at one point had it almost buzzed to nothing.
Oh,
and
nice.
Let's face it, I'm not far from that anyway. And but we did, a couple of times we've hacked her down, and then it's slowly coming back, and so it's been reasonable. But I've gone from mustache to full beard to now back to goatee. So you have all this extra time on your hands, you might as well play with your hair. I'm not sure what else I'm supposed to say there.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Superfan, yeah. How are you hanging?
Not too bad, actually. I went and got my hair cut for the first time since February at a local place. The place I go to, it was completely empty. Nobody else was in there but me and the guy cutting my hair. And both of us are masked. Everything is wiped down. So I felt pretty safe there. Maybe if there were more people there, I would have been a little more leery. Yeah. But yeah, when it's just you and one other person and you're both as safe as you can get, I guess you can't ask for much more.
All of a sudden, what plays on the radio or whatever music they're playing is really important, because if there's a guy cutting your hair and Bon Jovi's Bed of Roses comes on or something, and you're getting that sweet scalp massage as they wash your hair.
At that point, do they give you a mullet?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, Billy Ray Cyrus comes on and you get the full Cyrus cut.
I was just going to say, if it's early Bon Jovi, all of a sudden the hairspray is out.
Oh, yeah.
Hair sticking all over the place. Yeah.
I like this. The reason you guys are on is because there's lots of news. It all seemed to come in about a 3-hour period.
No kidding.
So we will get to this. First, this episode of Two and Out is brought to you by Straight from the CPA's Mouth, a new podcast series created by the CPA Education Foundation and funded by the Heshey CPA Knowledge Center. Alberta's chartered professional accountants, or CPAs, are experts on a wide range of topics and issues of interest to Albertans. Straight from the CPA's Mouth has discussions on topics important to you, from leadership skills and achieving career potential to financial literacy and how to make your tax refund bigger. I like that. Whether you're a university student, a new Albertan, or a parent, you'll find something of value on this unique podcast. You'll find Straight from the CPA's Mouth on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or on the CPA Education Foundation's website at cpaalberta.ca/foundation. That's cpaalberta.ca/foundation.
In the Huddle with Curran Todd on the 2 and Out podcast.
I did want to mention one note, because it's been a while, probably a week and a half ago, that U Sports announced that with no season happening this year, those fifth-year players were not going to be eligible to return once football ends up returning, and at least at the U Sports level. And it ended up being that Three Down Nation, just a few days ago over the weekend, reported that that might be reversed. Pressure from coaches and potential lawsuits mean that that decision could be reversed. And I know that there was a UFC Dinos, I think a quarterback, Josiah J, on Twitter, and really trying to get former CFL players, other U Sports players, trying to make them to change this decision. Mike, I'm going to go to you here. I mean, with no season happening, with these players, who knows if this decision is actually going to get reversed? I mean, what does a 2021 CFL draft even look like? Could they have one? I don't know.
It's going to be so tough. I mean, no matter which way you go, someone is going to get their university sport experience cut either short or delayed.
Yeah.
So if you're allowing your fifth-year guys all coming in, then all your rookies aren't going to get quite the amount of time. And if you don't, you've got these people that are missing out on a full year through no fault of their own, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that, like so many times, you see guys that get drafted in the CFL draft, come to the team for training camp, and then go back for their final year, so they're suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back the year after. We've had that with several of our players. Every team has. I think that's what you might see, is guys getting drafted because they are eligible, and then maybe just finishing off their degrees or their full eligibility the next year. But oh, it's going to look really, really strange after training camp in the next year, assuming we have a season.
Well, and even this year's crop of rookies that were drafted just this past spring, and who knows what training camp's going to look like if there's going to be a 2020 season. It's just, it's a story to watch, because Canadians are obviously so important to the Canadian Football League. Let's move on and talk about the 2020 Hall of Fame class that was just announced. And as a pair of Edmonton fans join a Saskatchewan fan, there was a lot of Calgary connections.
In this
Hall of Fame class, Saskatchewan connections too. Clyde Brock he's going to get inducted. He was a Rough Rider for 12 years. Freddie Childress is going to get inducted. He was a former Stampeder. Larry Utech inducted. You'll recognize that name from the Utech Bowl. It's been that since 2003. A UFC Dino, Greg Vavra, was inducted, and then two other big Calgary names, and maybe an Ottawa name, because Burris is going to be a legend there forever. Henry Burris goes in. John Huffnagel goes in. We'll go to you, Andrew. Henry Burris, he gets ridiculed in Saskatchewan a lot. What's his reputation like in Edmonton?
You know, I think he's okay. I think a lot of people say, you know, it's Smiling Hank, and
yeah.
I think a lot of people who have, you know, met him outside of the game,
right?
It seems to be a genuine guy on the field. I mean, he always played for teams that were like, really, dude? Like, when he finally went to Ottawa, I was like, well, that's okay. Like, I mean, I hope he has some success there, and of course he did, and to some degree, just because of the kind of massive load of getting that other Grey Cup, I hope he goes into the Hall as a Red Black. That would be cool, because he'd be kind of the first quote unquote under that name Red Black,
right,
to go
yeah.
in, right? So I think that would be kind of neat, and he always does seem want to be first at everything. So maybe that's what he wants to do. But if he doesn't somehow work into his speech, shove it, then it is not worth it. Then he should have waited and not been in. But now, if he can throw that in, then I'll accept it, and he can get in there.
And that induction video with Damon Allen reading that story, I thought, I get chills just talking about it right now. I thought that was one of the coolest ways, all things considered, everything's virtual right now, to induct somebody into the Hall of Fame.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was so well done. And I think anybody who's a league fan, it's pretty hard not to get a little choked up watching that,
yeah.
because that was all genuine. It was amazing.
John Huffnagel goes in as well, and he's a good guy in my books because our friends at Horseman Radio, they have their beers with Huff every year, and it just so happened one of the games was before a Rough Rider game, and they allowed a few Rider fans into the table at Nick's Steakhouse in Calgary. So Huff picked up the bill for my beers and pizza, and that's a way to win me over any time. But super fan, when you talk about history and excellence, and Edmonton is certainly up there, but what Huffnagel has done with the Stampeders, I mean, he played as well, but what he's done with that franchise over the last decade and a half, it's the closest thing to those Edmonton teams in the late 70s, right?
Well, as much as it does pain me to say this, because giving credit to anything out of Calgary, including the podcast guys, it's really tough. And no, it's all said with love, but you can really not argue with success. If you look at how Calgary's done since he came on board as head coach in 2008, their career, especially in the West, has been outstanding. Now, that doesn't always translate as well to Grey Cups.
Yep.
But he's still had a couple of wins in there, right? So he's had three wins, two as a head coach and one as a GM. And, man, you know, what can you say? The guy obviously deserves it, and he's still going.
I know. That's the cool thing that, like, as a history guy, how many active people get inducted into the Hall?
Not a whole lot. I know that Hugh Campbell did go in as a builder when he was still affiliated with the Eskimos. But yeah, it doesn't happen very often. And that's why guys like Warren Moon didn't get in until 2001, because he was
right.
still an active player in the NFL until after he retired. Then he was able to get in that next year. So, you know, it's a very rare occurrence. And again, I hate to say it, but it is well deserved.
Yeah, he's basically, you know, kind of like the Ric Flair.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have 16 championship titles, so
that's right.
Take that. this show releases on Thursday, July 23rd. That date is pivotal because it was supposed to be the deadline of a CBA being ratified, a new one, and then a decision being made on the 2020 season. At time of recording, we don't have any news, but we did hear that Winnipeg has been chosen as the tentative hub city for a 2020 season. What that basically looks like is 60 games, all at IGF. I guess maybe they would quarantine the players in a bubble at the University of Manitoba, kind of like we're seeing in Toronto and Edmonton with the NHL. Major League Baseball got denied because they wanted to treat it like a regular season. So compare the CFL to the NHL when they want to go with this. We don't know if it's going to happen. It's all tentative. Apparently, Regina, Winnipeg, and Calgary were the only cities to bid on being a hub city. But things have been really quiet from the league office, and I have sort of flashbacks to the last time the CBA was up and the training camp was going to start in like 12 hours, and then the players went on Twitter, said, nope, we're not coming. We're going on strike. It kind of looks like this is going that way, Andrew, that the league is backing the players into a corner, trying to make them sign a deal that probably isn't as good for them just to make football happen. We've already seen players like Brandon Banks say, I'm probably not going to come play like that now. I guess it's an option that players are going to be allowed to opt out.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to talk about it because the league, this seems so similar to the last time the CBA was up.
Well, it does seem similar that way. The only thing is that leading up to that one, though, where we were waiting for that last CBA, there was still a lot of, well, he said this and he
said
that.
Yeah, there was.
And in the last, I want to say 2 weeks, maybe 10 days, there hasn't really been a whole lot of that other than the players saying, well, this is not a good deal. And certain players, like you mentioned, Brandon Banks, and saying, you know, like, well, I'm not going to put on a helmet until 2021. And which in the midst of all of this is totally understandable. I mean, you have to make the decision that's best for you and your family.
Yeah.
And so not all of the guys are going to show up in this type of scenario. I think that it's difficult no matter what. I think both sides are actually in difficult positions. I understand that the players want to make their money, and as we all do, we all want to make our money. But I think we're also, the league is in a bit of a pinch because it's like, well, how do we do this when we know there's going to be minimal revenue coming in? We're not playing 18 games. We're playing 6 or 8 or whatever it happens to be. When we don't have fans coming in, well, I'm guessing that they would have very minimal fans at best coming in. It's fine and good to say that, okay, well, yes, we want to honor that contract, like the full contract, but we're not playing a full season. So I can see the battle in the middle there of how do we make this viable? And yet on the other hand, how do you do it and keep everyone safe? I mean, that's the thing. I love the idea of trying to do the hub city and keep it in one tight spot. I'm almost curious to let things play out a bit and see what happens when the NHL starts again with two hub cities, and how long is it before one team can't play because somebody gets the virus? Because we're seeing it everywhere where there are spikes, and it's not like this just went away. So I think it's going to be very difficult on either side to make something work that is actually going to work for both sides.
Well, and American players already make so many sacrifices, not only as football players putting their body on the line every time they step onto the field, but a lot of these guys probably have already gotten some job on the side. And is it worth to quit and leave that for 6 weeks? I don't know if it is. I don't know what that looks like, but it was announced on Wednesday. Canadian Heritage Minister says that Sport Canada does not provide funding for for-profit independent leagues such as the CFL. So, Mike, can the CFL, you think, go with nothing from the government?
I don't see how it can go with nothing. It did get reported by several people. Dan Barnes was one talking about that was just one federal avenue,
right,
but they have been exploring others. The BDC is an example, that there are things specific for the pandemic, you know, exceptions and things like that. If they don't get it, I just don't see how they can do it. If you're not bringing the money, and we're not the NFL where we can make $1 billion just in video game revenue.
Yeah.
Hell, we don't even have a video game. they're not licensing it. They need to change the model as it is, but until that point, they need money coming in. It's tough for the players. It's tough for some of the staff that were also let go. I can't imagine the trainers, the equipment guys, all that are doing any work right now.
And did anybody mention a Grey Cup in Winnipeg in December? That's like not a problem. What do we do for the beers? Do we just stick a popsicle stick in them and have at her lick it throughout the game?
Well, you know what, though? This is the only thing I will say about that is the last time there was a Grey Cup in Winnipeg, it was wonderful. It was great.
Yeah. You were fans of that.
Absolutely.
We were there.
That again. Yeah. That was fantastic.
You know what? I think this is why they pay you the big bucks, Andrew, because that is just a beautiful transition to talk about the Edmonton Eskimos retiring the nickname that they've used since 1949. And every few years, the issue of the name has come up. I remember it in 2015 after they won the Grey Cup. It came up again when they hosted the Grey Cup. And it came up, and it seems like everything was just such a whirlwind until the team finally made the announcement on Tuesday. I want to go to you here first, Mike, because the amount of historical knowledge you have on your team and the CFL in general, it almost is like you have a little bit of a different relationship with the name, because you understand that the franchise has had different names before they chose Eskimos, and maybe with you doing that research, you understood maybe they'll have different names in the future as well. But this one lasted for, 70 years? I think last year was the 70th season that they celebrated at Commonwealth Stadium. What does that name mean to you? Because unlike a lot of people that are attacking Eskimo fans, I can understand why there would be frustration to this happening all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, we can go back to 1908. That was the first time the team was called the Eskimos. There have been a lot of stories that kind of come out and get quoted that are not entirely true. But, I mean, since then, we went by the Civics. We've been the Canucks, believe it or not. Wow. Fortunately, we've not been Rough Riders, so that's been good. Although there was a Calgary Rough Riders in that sort of era.
Wow.
Even, the Elks for 6 weeks in 1922. So it has changed. And the thing that I always like to bring up to people is when people talk about how Edmonton was the first team to go to the Grey Cup in 1921, and we went in 1921 and 1922, but in 22 we were the Elks, and that's still considered part of our history, even with the change in name. So no matter what name we change to now, it's still going to be our history. And I think that's important to remember that, as much as some people don't want to change the name because it's part of their identity, it needs to change. It is changing. And no matter what, if you were to go to the game in 6 weeks or next year and cheer on the team, what they're called wouldn't really reflect on your experience. It's still those same guys on the field fighting for you. You're cheering in the stands, yelling things at the opposing team. It doesn't matter. So I hope that people can get behind that name. I know it's going to be tougher, but as it turns out, we might have a little more time to grieve and kind of get over it and accept that loss.
It does look like that they want it to start with an E. They want to keep the logo, the colors. They want it to fit into the fight song. I guess Chris Presson, the CEO and president of the team, did an interview with CBC early Wednesday, and he confirmed it would not be the Edmonton Empire. And a lot of people have sort of written it off. Oh, we'll just make it the Empire. They trademarked that in 2018. But I guess we can cross that one off the list. Mike, does the logo and the colors mean more to you? You seem like a very level-headed guy that's able to disconnect your emotional attachment to the team here, but the logo and the colors, is that important to you to maintain?
Yeah, for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, if you look at so much stuff, you look at the helmet, it has the EE logo on it, but the word Eskimos did not appear.
Yeah.
Same with the jerseys. They always had that logo on it. So, I mean, they do have the small word mark, but that's a pretty easy thing to remove. But the green and gold, the colors, the logo, I mean, like, those are things that are iconic and would help ease the team into that transition for the fans. and be financially a lot cheaper because, again, you don't have to get new helmets. You don't have to change much on the jersey or the footballs or whatever because that EE logo is still there and still used. People can still wear it with pride. You got baseball caps with it, the whole bit. And I think that's just good for the books and good for the fans to have something that they can move forward with.
Andrew, how are you feeling about the change? Because I can... It's almost like when your buddy in, you know, grade six moves away to another city and you're not going to be able to see him anymore. I can understand that feeling of loss a little bit for fans, as cheesy as it sounds. But at the same time, someone like you knows that this was coming. And did you prepare yourself at all for when the news finally dropped?
Oh, absolutely. We have known for a number of years, I would say, that it was going to happen at some point. It wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. And I know even like with the podcast, we were talking about last year, we were talking, do we just rebrand now or do we, and we wanted to toy around with it and kind of going back and forth. And how is this going to work? And it wasn't until recently where we realized, okay, well, this is all going to come to a head at some point, and so now's the time for us to pull the trigger. And I can even say even that day, and that wasn't the team name, that was just the podcast name. Yeah. And that evening, I know I definitely had kind of went through the seven stages of grief quickly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, it's something that we were attached to. And the same thing happens with the team name. I mean, we knew it was coming. We still have an attachment, and it's something that we feel we've been a part of for, you know, 35, 40 years, depending on which one of us you're talking to. And, but you know, it's been a long time. And so it's not to say that either of us felt like it shouldn't be changed.
Yeah.
We have both done our own learning. We have both, you know, tried to, you know, get past our own blockages of what should and shouldn't be done, and realizing that, no, this is the right move to change the name. That doesn't mean that there isn't still a sense of loss. And it's still, we're now both kind of getting into this, I think. I'm sorry, I don't mean to speak for you, Mike, but I think we're both kind of getting into the range of, okay, let's try and be excited about what's coming and then not be so in the loss mode, because we've kind of gotten, like I said, we've been dealing with it for so long. Like, okay,
yeah.
Well, yeah, the loss is there. Let's move on and let's get excited about how many championships we're going to win under the new name that just add to the 14 that the team has, and it's not like those go away.
Is there also a feeling of relief a little bit? Now, I know there's a long road to go. The team needs to change a pile of things to make it officially official, but is there a feeling of, you know what, this is a cool opportunity to have a new name and go into the future where everybody could feel included, but that the relief that there is a controversy that hopefully is behind us now?
I wholeheartedly agree. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, I think relief is the exact right word there. This has been going on, like you said earlier, 2015, you had people that were First Nations saying that there is a problem with this name. Some people, you know, sort of slough that off as, you know, it's because the playoffs, this was in the playoffs leading up to the 2015 Grey Cup.
Yeah.
As well, you know, people that are trying to earn political points and things like that. But honestly, if your representative is telling people that it's offending you, you're going to speak up. So there were people that did, but there were a lot of people that didn't. I think it's because that rang true for them, that it did offend them. And if it's offending a group of people, it's really hard to justify that, yeah, well, we're going to keep it anyway. So you knew it was coming. Like we said, it's a matter of when, and now we can start healing and moving forward.
And I think the Black Lives Matter movement has made it easier for certain populations to be able to find their voice and stand up for themselves and say that this isn't okay. Because it's also not okay if they're just used to it, used to being used. And I'm hesitant to say that Edmonton used Inuk people as a mascot, because there's a giant football and a giant polar bear running around on the field, and they have used imagery like on programs in the past, but it's still using the name, so it's almost like normalizing it a little bit, and that's not right too. That's what I would think, Mike.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Like you said, there has been a very caricaturish image that was used in the 50s and 60s that, like you say, just nowadays we would look at and be an absolute horror. Like I collect programs and media guides and things like that where you see it and it's not something I'm going to stick on my wall, let's put it that way. So if you start going, well, if I'm not okay with that, how am I getting to the point where I'm okay with the word itself, if that's going to be a problem?
No, Andrew, and I know Mike mentioned it too, but it's the history's still there. But it's hard to almost feel like that era, maybe that era is over, of the Warren Moons, of the Damon Allens, of the Ricky Rays, the Mike Rileys, that era is gone now. And it's like almost graduating from high school or something. That's the way I would put it, hey?
Well, the Mike Riley era can't be over because we want to sack him 10 more times.
Okay, that's true.
Play. So, I mean, there's got to be a drive for us to go get him.
Yeah.
We can't do that. But, yeah. You know, I see what you mean by that. And yet, I'm kind of looking at it as, just building on something that was great.
Yeah.
And I don't really look at it as an era being over, as more as just, we're changing to build, to be better. Like I think that's the thing that we really need to focus on. And I really like, that you said there was that, you know, that sigh of relief. I can't agree more, honestly, just because I want to get back to talking football.
Yeah.
I want to get back to talking, this is the play on, and hopefully through all of this COVID stuff, we can start doing that at some point. But I just want to go back to talking about, hey, how is Trevor Harris going to be better this year? Like, I want to have that. I want to be able to have the conversation, like you just said, you know, Black Lives Matter is a huge movement and we all support that. I want to be able to support that and not have to get into a battle over a name. So that side to me, I'm excited to see how we can build and make this better.
It's an interesting time for sure. What is the sense of Edmontonians? I know fans of the team are a proud, proud group, and change is very, very hard. I've seen online comments saying that they're going to cancel tickets and all sorts of things, and I don't think that's the right way to go about things. I mean, people, I think, supported the team because of where they're from. They grew up going to games. And if they were called the Elks in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you would be fans of them because you grew up going to games in Edmonton. So it's hard for me to see that. At the same time, if they ditched the Rough Riders name, I would have to almost have a little bit of a celebration of life and light candles and have bubble baths until so I get it. I get it. But is there a lot of anger in this?
Horrible image. Why did you say that?
I'm sorry.
I thought that was your regular Friday night.
Well, usually Sunday afternoons.
Okay.
Is there a lot of anger in the city?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I think there is some. I don't know if I want to say there's a lot, but I think there is some, but I think those some are very loud.
Yeah, they are.
I think that's because I think in general, when I talk to fans of the team, see, it's so hard. I'm stumbling over. I was just going to say that, you know, the name of the team. But when I when I talk to other fans, majority of them are fairly level-headed about it. They're like, right. Okay, I'm sad that it's changing, but it was time for the change, and that's fine. It's still our guys. But I think there's a lot of people who are so angry that they just need to be very vocal about it. And I'm not saying that they can't be vocal about it. They can. And for Mike and I, we just hope that they're season ticket holders that are somewhere right around the 50-yard line so we can move closer. And that's the positive I'm going to take out of it. I think one thing, though, I hate relating everything back to different things, but, you know, even when the team changed to the rainbow flag for LGBTQ support, and there were a ton of people that are like, I'm not buying tickets anymore and I'm not doing this because they just can't accept that we're trying to, you know, be a broader spectrum and include as many people as possible. I wonder how many people followed through, and sometimes will this be the same way, or are people going to follow through this time? I guess we won't know until we can actually get back into anywhere near the stadium. On the other hand, now they can do that, and it doesn't automatically turn into you need to change your name.
Yeah, that's true.
Now they can do it. Yeah. They can say, hey, we support everybody, and there is no comeback. It's just, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, then, and I remember even the team doing that before. Well, hey, then don't let the door hit you on the way out.
We don't want you as fans.
If you're not going to support diversity as strength, then don't be part of it. You can choose to deprive yourself of it, but I don't understand why you would do that if you love the team and you love the game.
What I would like to see is the people that have been calling for this name change to buy a ticket when football comes back, and maybe put your money where your mouth is a little bit. And I'm not saying that the change is wrong, but I'm saying that the team wants to include everyone in this and go to a game and show thanks a little bit that way, because they're a community-owned team. They support the community in so many ways, and I think including the community, and even if they include Anuk people in the naming of the new team, I think it's such a cool opportunity to make sure that everyone feels welcome at Commonwealth Stadium and in the Canadian Football League. There's a cool opportunity to make that happen. Mike, I mean, if everybody that's talking about this team name changing right now bought a ticket to Commonwealth Stadium, it'd be sold out for 10 years.
Like, well, you know, I've often said, when you're on social media, never read the comments, and that, you know, I never listen. But someone once said in the last couple of days that if every single person who says they were giving up their season tickets was actually a season ticket holder, there would have been 55,000 at Commonwealth Stadium every game.
Well, that's a good point.
But, I mean, you're right. Like, if people have been staying away because of the name, because of the way they felt because of it, they talk about the seven stages of grief, right? You know, shock, denial, anger, et cetera. But, like, one of the last things after acceptance is rebuilding, and I think that's going to be a chance for the team to rebuild that fan base, get everyone gathered together. There should not be some excuse why you're not going to the games now if you really think about it. So I hope that means we're going to start seeing these numbers go from, you know, late, high 20s up to maybe the high 30s or low 40,000s in people coming.
Either way, they're getting a lot of publicity, so it's a lot of free advertising.
That's true.
You can't say that you haven't heard of the Edmonton Football Club anymore. They're there. Everybody in Canada knows about it. Mike, are they going to revisit a name from their past or do something completely new? What's your sense?
It's hard to say. I mean, they got to start something with the E, so your only choice is going to be Elks. I think that could be a cool possibility. There's a lot of great logo opportunities, some merchandising ideas. I think that could be really, really cool. But if they don't, I mean, maybe they'll try to find something that starts with like an ESC or an ESK, Escalade, Escape, whatever it happens to be, because that possibility of an ESC, you know, go, ESC, go, something. I don't know if they want to go that route. But if they do, there's certainly a lot of words in the English language and a lot that would fit into that fight song that start with that E. So many to choose from. Just pick a good one, something that everyone can get behind, move forward, and, well, I don't know. I still like the word escadrille or escadra, which is a French, like in the French military, that's like a squadron of air fighters.
Nice.
You know, it's some people have said eskers, which is a land formation. That doesn't really inspire me. You know?
Look out for that, like, peninsula
stuff? What's going on? So, you know, there's options like that. They're just going to have to take their time, really research it, maybe get some focus groups together on, do you like this? Why do you like this? What does it mean to you? And hope it can move forward from there.
What's your sense, Andrew? Is it do you have a prediction or anything like that? Care?
Oh no, I care. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. When are the votes coming out? I will happily vote on the team name that I like. But I don't know. My thought is that they go to something completely different. I think they do. I mean, they keep with the E,
right?
But I think that they go to something that separates it completely, just so that there isn't even like the thought that they're trying to go back. Like I just think. I've been wrong before, but I really liked a couple that I've seen on Twitter. Dave Campbell had said the Express, and I kind of think that one's kind of cool. Probably my favorite though was AJ Gass. Might be just because it's him that's saying it, but he said Edmonton Elite, and for some reason that one has really grown on me. So,
and the rest of the CFL will hate you just as much. You perfect. Smug city
don't
of
care.
Champions, you smug elite, shut up.
That's right. That's why I mean, they just have to get it through their heads that we're awesome. That's all that it's old. I mean, I'm kidding. I really thought that was kind of a neat a lot of neat ideas behind that, but I agree with Mike, though. If they do go back to the Elks, and again, that is separate but still has that history,
yeah.
There'd be some, I think there could be some really awesome third jersey things to do with that. And I'm always excited about adding to my jersey collection. My wife maybe not so excited that I'm excited about it, but I'm very excited about that. So,
they are more than just some docile animal that sits on the side of the road in Jasper National Park. You're going to watch for these things. They're pretty badass.
Well, and can you imagine everybody getting in the stands and having like antlers on? This would be fantastic.
If
come
all
on.
Of the hunters brought their elk calls and used them on defense.
Oh, my. Now we're... I don't know if that's actually a good or bad thing, but I still think that it would be neat for one game.
Yeah.
I think it would just be great for the swear filter on the show.
Hey, who thought of that first? Can I trademark this?
Oh, guaranteed.
Oh, this has been such a great conversation and just great to talk to you, Mike and Andrew. The Turf District Podcast. Well, do we expect episodes when football gets underway?
Yeah, probably closer to there. We're really working hard right now on finalizing a logo, and there's lots of other things that we have to kind of work through when you think like you have to redo a title. I mean, you know about that. How long did it take before you had the one with Brazilian tie in it? I mean, it takes a while to do that intro.
You see, that was laziness.
Okay, well, ours is we're working on it. But, you know, we had launched everything as far as YouTube Live and we want that to continue, and we were pushing towards doing a full video podcast. So we want to make sure that we get everything right, everything done properly. And that takes time and some money that we're all kind of working on. So, we're hoping that we would be back kind of early September. If football by some miracle is returning before then we'll find a way to put something out. But until then we'll work. We have a couple other kind of plans that we want to launch the right way. When we come back, we want it to be, for all the right reasons, and getting back to talking football and this is why we're doing it and what we're doing to kind of support our decision. So that's it's all in the works.
Awesome, guys. We'll talk to you soon and see you at a West of Us, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Oh, God, man, I would love to have a West of Us.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Thanks again to Superfan Mike and Andrew from the Turf District podcast joining the show. Look for the return of their show very, very soon. This episode of Two and Out is brought to you by ATB Financial. And they have a new initiative there called ATB Goodness Grows. I love this. There's a lot of negativity. Just open up Facebook and open up Twitter. You will see. But you can open up Twitter and put in the hashtag ATB Goodness Grows, and you'll see a lot of good things. It's an initiative that motivates Albertans to bring joyful moments to others. We're all adjusting to being disconnected from the places, people, and experiences we love. So making someone laugh or bringing a smile to their day has never been more needed or more powerful. From live streams connecting business owners to new and fun ways to celebrate things like Father's Day, ATB hopes to inspire Albertans to keep the goodness growing. To find out more or to get involved, visit atb.com/COVID-19/community. That's another episode of the Two and Out CFL podcast. We'll be back full roster with Brazilian Ty in a couple weeks. Rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatcher. Stay safe.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.